Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, we go right to him like we have for a long, long time. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Joe, I'm doing great, buddy. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you and everyone out there. We say this every year. I can't believe it's already March 17th. So let me say it again. I can't believe it's already March 17th.
I know. It's amazing, man. Time is just flying with everything going on. So, hey, the AFC East, we got a couple teams going for it. The Miami Dolphins. And now the Jets, once they get this Rodgers deal done, I've been saying all morning, there's a lot of pressure on the front office, coaching staff for this team to win right now, because on paper, Mike, it's one of the best rosters they've had in a long, long time. Do you feel the Jets or the Dolphins have a chance to take the AFCs from the Bills?
Oh, I think both teams do. We don't know what's going to happen with this Aaron Rodgers experiment. With Brett Favre 15 years ago, it started well. It fell apart when Favre developed a partially torn biceps tendon that caused the Jets to plummet from, I think, 8-3 out of the playoffs altogether. But I think both teams need to be taken very seriously. I think that entire division, top to bottom, is extremely competitive. We assume the Patriots are going to find a way to make for some interesting games this year. So the Bills, I think, still have the most pressure of anyone, because they've got Josh Allen in his prime and they've yet to get back to a Super Bowl. They haven't made it to the AFC Championship game the last 2 years. I just feel like whether it's the coaching staff, the front office, or both, there will be significant pressure on the Bills this year, and there could be changes made if they fail to get deep into the postseason in 2023. Either it's we don't have enough players who are good enough, which is on the front office, or we have the players and the coaches and getting it done, which points to a potential coaching change. But I think a ton of pressure on the Buffalo Bills, regardless of what the Dolphins and the Jets have done to try to get better. It's going to make it harder to win games, but it doesn't reduce the pressure.
I tell you, Mike, I didn't see the Jalen Ramsey one coming, and I usually got a little bit of a feel, or somebody gives me a heads up, but the Jalen Ramsey signing, I did not see that coming, and he really apparently wanted to be here. Did that surprise you at all?
Well, it didn't surprise me he got traded, because the Rams wanted to get out from under his contract, and I think he was looking for a sweetener of the terms in the final year, and he got one. He got $30.5 million now, fully guaranteed, over the final 3 years. He had $5 million that would have been fully guaranteed under the terms of the prior deal. So the Dolphins swoop in. They've kind of got that F them picks vibe that the Rams used to have. But a third round pick for Jalen Ramsey, I mean, the Rams have, I thought the saying was buy low, sell high.
Right.
The Rams have perfected the craft of buy high, sell low.
Right.
I hadn't thought of that until just now, but think about what they gave up to get Ramsey. Think about what they paid Ramsey, and think about what they're getting for Ramsey on the way out the door. The only good news is they didn't have to give up a draft pick to get rid of a player like they did with Jared Goff. One of the first-round picks that went to the Lions was simply to say to Detroit, please take this god-awful contract off of our books.
Yeah, it was a crazy one. Hey, so what's fair compensation for Aaron Rodgers, not knowing how long he's going to play? That guess they got him for the year. I don't know how they get this thing worked out. Green Bay obviously wants at least one first-round pick, I would think.
Well, I'm told that Green Bay definitely wants at least a first-round pick, plus they want more. They want protection in 2025 against the possibility that Rodgers plays in 24, although I don't think he will. I think he goes into it as a one-year proposition, but the challenge becomes figuring out where the two circles on the Venn diagram meet. I don't know if they still teach Venn diagrams in school, but, you know, Joe, the old circles, and all those two circles have to do is kiss. And when the Jets and the Packers need to kiss the two circles, and they'll have a deal. But when it comes to these kind of high-end negotiations, the question is, when is the deadline? Because nobody moves toward their true bottom line until the deadline arrives. Because if you move prematurely, then you're locked in and you end up potentially being squeezed off of your bottom line position when the real deadline arrives. So the Packers, I'm told, are willing to play this out until the draft. Now, I think the Jets have more leverage than people realize, because do they need Aaron Rodgers right now? What's going on right now? Nothing. Offseason program doesn't begin until next month. Is he going to be there for that? Well, he never is in Green Bay. So if they don't get this done, it actually gives him cover to not be there. And he knows the offense like the back of his hand. It's Nathaniel Hackett's system from Green Bay. The only thing he doesn't know is the personnel, other than Alan Lazard, who's now joined the team, and maybe Randall Cobb and maybe Mercedes Lewis. But what Rodgers could do, and he didn't do this last year with his new receivers, and I think it showed when it was time to play, he could gather with all of these Jets players anywhere he wants and have workouts and get to know them and throw them the football and have them run routes and have them run plays out of the Hackett playbook. There's no prohibition against that. So the Jets could say, you know what, Green Bay, you want to get this done by the draft? We're fine with waiting until the start of training camp. Maybe that's the real deadline. So I think right now the challenge for both teams is to come up with an understanding as to when the deadline is. And once they know when the deadline is, the deal is going to get done right before the deadline. So I think the Jets have more leverage than people realize. The Packers have leverage that some would say they're foolishly trying to burn because they're done with Aaron Rodgers and it could blow up in their faces. I think this will get done eventually. The question, number one, when will both sides feel sufficiently motivated to get this thing toward a conclusion?
Mike, you know what was amazing about the podcast the other day and Aaron Rodgers, and we're all waiting to see what he was going to say, is that he literally came out of spending 5 days in the dark and he felt like his whole relationship had changed with the Green Bay Packers. He can't be that out there. Like, the smartest guy in the room can't not know that they weren't real happy before he left and was thinking about retiring.
Joe, this is the Michael Jordan factor, where you come up with anything you need to motivate yourself. I don't believe it. He caught himself in a contradiction during that appearance with Pat McAfee and A.J. Hawk, because initially he said that when the season ended, the Packers told him, there's a spot for you here. We want you as long as you want to be here. Take your time. Let us know what you want to do. And he said at some point that changed. And when he came out of the darkness, he sees that they're shopping him. They're talking to the teams. What changed? Something changed. And so that feeds this idea that they lied to him. They weren't honest with him. That gets him fired up. That takes him from 90% retirement right to 100%. I want to go out there and show that the Packers were dumb for turning their back on me. But then later in the interview, he acknowledged that he was feeling during the season that this was it, that they wanted to move on. Well, wait a minute. Which is it then?
Yeah.
Which one is it? You know, and I don't expect in that safe space, that bully pulpit that he gets once a week, I don't expect McAfee and Hawk to ask him tough questions. But that's one that you look at and say, man, well, wait a minute. He's contradicting himself here. And I think the easy explanation is he wants the Packers to look bad. He wants himself to look good. And he wants to have a way to fashion a chip on his shoulder, just like we've seen Tom Brady do. Remember Tom Brady? There was that game a few years back. They beat the Chargers in the divisional round, and he did the nobody believes in us thing. It's like, Tom, everybody believes. What the hell are you talking about? Right. Everybody believes in you. What do you mean? Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs did that after the Super Bowl. They acted like nobody picked them to win the Super Bowl this year. Well, I did back in September. But you focus on, and others did too. I wasn't the only one. So you focus on anything you can to get yourself motivated and determined. And I think that's what a lot of this was from Aaron Rodgers. He wants the Packers to look like the bad guys, and he wants to find a way to get himself motivated. If he truly was leaning 90% toward retirement, this is something Peter King said on our TFT Live program this morning, I'm concerned if I'm the Jets. Because once you shut it down, how do you really turn it back on?
Yeah. I believe he still believes in money. I know he's a smart dude, but I think that money still matters. That big
million.
Payday, yes. Huge money.
I mean, it is $60 million to do what you've been doing every year since 2008. Why wouldn't you play this year? And he intends to play for the Jets. That's the other thing, too. When he comes out and says, it's my intention to play and my intention to play for the Jets, I can't help but wonder whether he's using intention as a word game so he still has the nuclear option to show up in Green Bay if they end up being ridiculously unreasonable in this. He could do what Favre did in 2008 and create all sorts of chaos. And he could say, well, my intention has changed. pay me my $60 million.
Right.
Good luck figuring out who your quarterback on the field is going to be.
Well, we got to ask you about the other quarterback, the one that lives down here in Broward County in South Florida. Will Lamar Jackson get an offer? Do you expect over the next few weeks he could hear from somebody or somebody will put something together for him?
I thought the Commanders might do it. They freed up $9.5 million in cap space when they restructured and signed and extended Daron Payne's contract. He was franchise tagged at like 18 and change. And when I saw that $9.5 million pop up on Sunday, it's like, well, you add it to what they have, and they really could go after Lamar if they want to. And I just thought it made a lot of sense. Team gets better. The next owner gets stuck with the bill. Dan Snyder gives the middle finger to the league office on the way out the door because they don't want to do five-year fully guaranteed contract. But when you look at the money they've spent this week and the decision to sign Jacoby Brissett, I think the Commanders are off the table. So who's left? And there's nobody out there that we're hearing is interested. And on top of that, and this gets back to Lamar not having an agent.
Especially Mike. He hates that so much, that no agent. Oh, it bothers him.
Well, and that's the problem, Joe. He's not going to do what's best for himself just so he can say, I was right all along to not have an agent. He had that tweet this week where he was quibbling with a report from Adam Schefter about the total value of the deal that he walked away from. And he pointed out 3 years, $133 million fully guaranteed, and I need an agent. Like, the Ravens offered him that without an agent. Okay, why didn't you take it then? See, the problem is when you don't have an agent, you don't know when to land the plane. You don't know when to do the deal. You don't have someone there who can tell you, this is what you should do. This is what I would do. This is what I would tell my son to do. That's where an agent is valuable. And at this stage of the game, Joe, the agent's valuable because the agent can get in touch with all the various teams and try to work something out. And this is how it works. You call in a favor with a GM that you helped out. You know, you did a below market deal with the GM to help him keep a guy he really wanted. Hey, do me a favor here. Can you just pretend to be interested? Can you bring him in for a visit? You don't have to sign and do an offer sheet, but can you just bring him in? We're trying to get something going here. Can you help me get something going? That's how it works. And if I was 25, 26 years old and football was the main focus of my life, I wouldn't understand those nuances. And I get it. But at some point you have to submit. And this is the one point that I've been making all week. Josh Allen, drafted the same year, did his new contract after three seasons. He has made over the last 2 years $41 million more than Lamar Jackson has made under that contract. That money is never coming back. That gap is never being made up between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Then you throw on top of it whatever endorsement deals he doesn't have because he hasn't been able to expand his portfolio. How do you not take 2019 MVP and parlay that into the most recognizable name and face off the field in the NFL? And you look at his roster of endorsers, there's not many. That's other money that's never coming back. So it's a shame. It's unfortunate. And I hope he has an epiphany at some point and does what he needs to do for his own good. But you know what, Joe? At some point, you just say, hey, if the guy wants to screw up his life, he's a fully grown man. Screw up your life if you want to. It's not my business.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good way to finish it. Hey, Mike, have a great St. Paddy's. Have a great weekend. Spend a little time with the family, and thank you for coming on, buddy.
Thanks, Jeff. See you, buddy.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.